The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Over the past month, we've read through John chapter 6, sometimes called the Bread of Life Discourse. I just want to review a few of those things and how it really shows us what Jesus wants to give us in the Eucharist. Because it started after the multiplication of the loaves and the feeding of the 5,000, and the people come to Jesus. They come looking for him. They want this bread again. But he showed them that it wasn't the bread that they wanted or the bread that he was going to give over and over and over again, as if he was going to give it for dinner one day and then breakfast and then dinner again, and they could just come a couple times a day and get this magical, mystical bread. Instead, he shows that it is him that they want. Not necessarily thinking about consuming or eating him at this point, but just it is that life source, that spirit of Jesus that we want. And that he gives us this bread of life, what we would call the Eucharist, in response to that. That Jesus, too, wants to remain with us. He wanted to remain with the crowds that were there in Israel 2,000 years ago, but he also wants to remain with us now. It's more than just a sign, but it's actually his presence to abide with us and remain with us always. So he knows that we need this, but it's also his response, his gift to us, to be close to us now. This bread of life is also meant to be our food for the journey, that like the manna that accompanied the people of Israel in the desert for 40 years, that this bread of life is meant to feed us over and over and over again in our lives. I think it's important to realize that probably some days the Israelites went out and gathered food, probably not really thinking about it, probably not realizing it was much of a miracle, just kind of doing it because they needed some food and that's what they were used to doing. So it's okay if sometimes we come to Mass and we receive the Eucharist and we go, "Well, I didn't really feel anything that time. It wasn't that dramatic and amazing when I receive this gift of the Eucharist." But to have our faith and trust in it nonetheless. And to say, "Lord, but I do believe that you are feeding me, that you're giving me what I need on my journey towards heaven. That I can seek not just things of this earth, but the things that exist forever. I can actually see those things that are eternal, that lead me towards heaven." So it is Jesus' response to be with us always. The Eucharist is our food for the journey that we receive over and over again, even when it doesn't feel like anything special. But as the Catechism states, it's also the source and summit of our faith. I think when most of us hear that, we think, well, sure, it's the source of our faith. It's where we get most of our teachings and our closeness to Jesus. It's the source of all grace. It's maybe the thing that we need more than any other sacrament. We think of it as the summit of our faith, like the top of a mountain, which makes us closest to God here on earth. And all of those things are true. They're also very impersonal. They're also kind of keeping the Eucharist at an arm's distance. I think it's the source and summit of our faith as well, because it's literally the best expression of our faith and trust in Him. Our faith and trust in God to do great things and to be with us now. I think that's what we see happening in today's gospel and in the first reading. That during this hard teaching, Jesus doesn't back down from saying how difficult it is, how hard it is for our human intellects to understand it. He also doesn't expect even the apostles to perfectly understand it. But instead, in this moment of choice, this moment of decision, Peter and the apostles reflect on who they know Jesus to be. Up to this point, clearly some of the crowds are following Jesus. They're interested in him. They've heard some of his teachings. They've seen him do some miracles, and they think, well, that's pretty neat and extraordinary. We'll go ahead and follow this guy and see what he's up to. But they reach this second moment of decision of whether they can really believe him. We hear in the gospel that some couldn't. Some left him and went back to their former way of life. Much like in our lives of faith, there are many points of decision. Not just one time when we get baptized or receive the sacrament of confirmation. It's not just one time when we maybe become adults and move out of our parents' customs and their houses that we have to choose whether we'll be Christian or not. It's that there are many times throughout our life that it's difficult for us to follow Jesus or to know where he is. That's what this moment is for the apostles and for the crowds. But for Peter and the apostles to continue to follow Jesus, to stay close to this bread of life, Peter doesn't say, oh, I didn't get it before, Jesus, but now that you explained it really, really good, I got it. I understand it, and so I can continue to follow you. If you listen closely, he never said anything about understanding what this bread of life is or how the words that Jesus gives us can be spirit and life. But what he does do is he reflects on what Jesus has already done. He reflects and he says, but I do believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I do believe that he wants what's good for me and wants what's good for the world. I believe that I can trust him and put my faith in him. So that's what Peter does. He expresses that own faith based on his personal encounter with Jesus. It's not a better understanding that he has, but instead a deeper faith. I can imagine Peter reflecting in this moment on all the times that he's been with Jesus. Maybe going all the way back to the Sea of Galilee when Jesus calls him out of the boat. That Peter was doing his own thing, had his own life, his own problems, his own joys. But at that moment, he encountered Jesus and Jesus said, come, follow me. I can imagine Peter reflecting on all the moments since then that sometimes Peter didn't really get and understand, but that he found Jesus to be worthy of his trust. He found Jesus to be good. He found Jesus to be the shortest and surest path towards God. So even in this difficult moment, when it's hard for him to comprehend and understand what Jesus is teaching, he says, I have believed and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God, that you are the Messiah. So even when I can't understand, I would say maybe especially when I can't understand God's teachings or his ways, I can still put my faith and trust in you, Lord. I can still follow you even when it's difficult. In many ways, that's what Joshua does in the first reading as well. But the people of Israel have journeyed through the 40 years in the desert. They've started to actually take over some other peoples and enter into the promised land. But Joshua finds that the people keep kind of getting distracted by other false gods. They worship their idols. They make these other images. Maybe they pray for a little extra rain and for the crops to grow. And so at this point, Joshua just kind of honestly loses his cool a little bit. And he's kind of tired of all the people's shenanigans. And he says, look, if you guys want to go be somebody else and not follow Yahweh, fine. You go and do your own thing. But he shares with them why he will continue to serve the Lord our God. It's not because he understands what God is doing all the time. But he looks back and he says, remember what God has done for us. Joshua says, what God has done for me. And he goes back and talks about the freedom from slavery in Egypt. He talks about being provided the manna in the desert. He talks about how even after Moses dies, he gives another leader and someone to show the people how to be close to God. All of those moments for Joshua are very personal moments. They're not moments that somebody else experienced and then he can go, oh, I guess God's trustworthy because so-and-so tells me that he is. But instead, that faith and trust in God for Joshua is founded on his personal experience. He can say, I believe and I trust you, Lord. Not because of anything that happened to anybody else, but because I reflected and seen the things you've done in my life. Especially when I don't get it right now or it's difficult to follow you right now. Those things of the past can actually help me to put my faith in you right now. Then that way for Joshua and for Peter and the apostles. The source and summit of their faith was reflecting on how God had worked previously in the past and how they could trust him and put their faith in him now. I think that's what we're invited to do each and every time we come to Holy Mass. Each and every time we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. It's to be able to receive something from him, but also to express our faith and trust in him. I mentioned it last week when the priest elevates the host and the chalice after it's been consecrated. Throughout the history of the church, that was seen as a special moment to say that is Jesus, my Lord and my God. It's a moment to express that faith and trust that even though it doesn't look like the body and blood of Jesus, say, Jesus, I believe that is actually you. That's a moment to express our faith. We continue that later when we express the great Amen. And when the priest again shows the body and blood of our Savior, and we offer it to God through Jesus with him and in him, we all respond often by singing the great Amen. We make a collective expression of our faith in Jesus. And I would say in its most poignant, its most powerful expression, it's when we actually approach the altar, we walk down the aisles and approach the sanctuary to receive the Eucharist. And when the priest or the minister shows us the body of Christ, we say, Amen. We express that we do believe that is Jesus. Hopefully sometimes like Peter and Joshua. Hopefully sometimes saying like, Lord, I don't really understand how this happens. But I believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. I've seen the ways that you've worked in my life. So even if I don't really get or understand the path that I'm on right now, even if I don't know what the next step is going to be, I can look back and how you've led me and loved me throughout my life and see that I can trust you and put my faith in you. That is why I say amen to the Eucharist. That's when I say amen to that bread of life at Holy Mass. Brothers and sisters, let us use this Mass and especially this reception of the Holy Eucharist as the source and summit of our faith. Certainly as something to receive and to have the fullness of God's grace in our lives, but also to express that belief and that trust in him. That like Joshua, Peter, and so many Eucharistic saints before us, when we come up and say amen to the bread of life, we're expressing that we believe that Jesus has done good things for us already. That he's accompanied us and led us through many challenges in our lives in the past. So we can proudly and joyfully express that faith again today, knowing that he will lead us to those waters of eternal life. That it's not just something that happens in the past or in the future, but that our faith can actually lead us and guide us today.